revelation will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. Have the word ready to receive it. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Let's read in concert verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to just talk to you from this topic. I'm not really big on the title, but it's the contents that I want you to get. But the topic title is how to be a part of the family. Amen. How to be a part of the family. Amen. When we talk about family, we talk about basically we are meaning relationships. And even though we're related to people, we don't always have relationship with people that we're related to. Amen. We may be related by blood, but that does not mean that we have a relationship, that we have encounter, we have fellowship, or that we have any agreeance between the two of us. Amen. And so I want to, and this came to my heart and my mind, and God dealt with me in my spirit about this, that there are some people that are blood related to Jesus Christ. By the blood, yes, you've been saved. But your relationship is slacking and lacking something that will cause you to have an intimate closeness with God. Amen. When we start talking about relationships, there are all kinds of relationships, but in order for a relationship to be a good one, there has to be contributing parties on both sides to make it successful. And the problem a lot of times in relationships is that most time is one-sided. One person has a selfish ambition, a motive, or a way they think things ought to work, and the other party don't want to cooperate with that way that they think it ought to work. Well, when it comes to God, we know what God thinks about how it ought to be. When we talk about the will of God, sometimes people think the will of God is what they think in their mind and what they feel in their heart. That's not the will of God. The will of God is written in plain English to us, and we ought not question what the will of God is because he makes it clear what things he has for us to do. For instance, he tells us, he said, if you're going to be my disciple, he said, you got to have love for the brethren. And he tells us that we ought to love one another as he has what? Loved us. His will is quite clear, but sometimes we, because of our relationship, think that we can make an exception. We sometimes think that, well, because I feel like I'm closer to God than this person, then I have a right to judge them. I have a right to not forgive them. I have a right to punish them. You know what I'm saying? I have a right to cut them off. But again, God tells us, he said, pray for those that despitefully use you. He said, love your what? Enemies. When they're hungry, give them bread. When they're thirsty, give them water. All this is the will of God. It's written for us, but we think sometimes because of our relationship, we have exceptions. Because, you know, as people of color, we always think that because if we're related to somebody and they have something that we can benefit from, that we ought to just get it without any problem. We ought to just get it without, you know, call your cousin and see if you can get the hookup. And then sometimes we want the hookup from God, and God is saying that you don't get a hookup because everybody is the same in the kingdom. Amen. Sometimes we think we get the hookup with God. God is saying, no, it ain't no hookup. You just hook up to the word, and you hook up to the will of God and do what I want you to do. Amen. So when we look at this text, and as I always say, this text is subject to the whole context of Scripture. This whole text, Jesus is proving to the Jews, or the people who are Pharisees and Sadducees, he's proven to them that you claim to have a relationship with God, and you claim to be God's chosen people because of your relationship with Abraham, but let me just bust your bubble. That's what Jesus is showing them. He's showing them because when you look, if you go all the way back to verse 1, you'll see that Jesus is coming through on the Sabbath day, and there's some corn in the field, and they're hungry, and they start eating the corn. And the Pharisees here, there because they had a relationship with Abraham, or they said they were Jews, God's chosen people. They felt like they had a right to judge what Jesus and his disciples were doing. And then they start talking about, you know, the Sabbath day, and if you were of his seed, you would do this and do that. And so when we start thinking that we can by the flesh please God and by the flesh get in his will, then we're sadly mistaken. Because Jesus let them know. He said, what did David do? And you say David is the king, right? David is the greatest king ever. So what did David do when they walked through the field? What did David do when he ate of the shoe bread? Come on and say amen. They go on and accuse him further. If you look at the text, the context, they accuse him further. And he began to say, if you had a sheep that had got hurt or an animal on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you help him? He said, is it lawful to cure somebody? Is it on the Sabbath day, or is it unlawful? And you know, they had their way of doing things. And they said, you know, they wanted to challenge Jesus and why he was doing stuff. And Jesus told them, he said, don't you know that the same one, the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath also? He told them that the Sabbath is not made, the man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made for man. What he was trying to tell them is that God's relationship with human beings is more important than your rules, more important than your regulations, more important than what you think is the important things in our mind. Sometimes in our mind, we think that some things are more important than other things. And God is saying the most important things are the things that we forget about to do the things that we think are important. Y'all get what I'm saying? So the most important things are most of the time the things that we think that God wants us to do is not the things that we think are important, but the things that God said is important. Amen? And so he healed somebody on the Sabbath day, and they had a problem with that. They had a problem with what he did. And so Jesus goes back, and he begins to tell them. He tells them that the prophet Isaiah says, behold, my servant whom I have chosen. This is verse 18. My beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment unto the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And so he says in verse 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. He said, the very people that you don't think have a relationship with me, I want to make them have a relationship. The very folks that you doubt that's going to have a relationship with me because they can't follow your rules, I'm going to make a relationship with them. And I'm so glad that God made a relationship with more than just the folks that thought they had it right because they followed a 613 laws that they couldn't even keep, by the way, that Jesus turned around and he told them that, you know, I came to fulfill the law. How did he do that? He came to fulfill the law by satisfying the law, satisfying it by his death and his shedding of blood and resurrection on the third day. He satisfied the law and allowed us to have a relationship with God. So what is my bridge back to God? My bridge is the cross. I have to come across the cross to get back to God. So he says, look, it goes on, and they said he brought one that was possessed of the devil, and the people were amazed, and Jesus cast out the devil, but he began to teach them a lesson. He told them, he said, every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. He said, every house divided shall not stand. And we have to understand this, that even in yourself, you are a house. What kind of house? You are the place where the Holy Spirit lives. You are housing for the Spirit of God, for God himself. And so if you are still trying to, predicate with the devil on one side and then, shake hands with God on the other, guess what? That house, you're divided. And if it's divided, he said, it shall be brought to what? Desolation. He said, every house, every kingdom that's divided, it shall not what? Stand. And so they accused him of being Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the flies, meaning that, meaning Satan. He's the prince of the air, right? And so they said he cast out devils because he has the power over these spirits. Now, where they get this idea from is believed that Solomon was given some kind of power over demons too, right? And so they were saying, well, he do it through some kind of other mystical wisdom. He don't do it by the power of God. That's what they were saying. And so they thought that he was casting out this devil some other way. And then he says in verse 27, he says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children? Boy, Jesus was hard. He was cold. Jesus was cold. He said, by who do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. In other words, the very children you have, they're going to be able to do the very works that I'm doing because I'm going to have a relationship with them. Isn't that something? And so Jesus asked him, who your children cast them out by? And he says, but I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. When we start to do the will of God, when we see the work of God happening, that is the kingdom of God. We think the kingdom of God is something else because we've been misled over the last 20 or 30 years by mega ministries and church TV, stuff like that, television evangelists that say all we got to do is name and claim it, call it and haul it, and you got blessings. And if you got a whole lot of money and a whole lot of cars and you live in the nicest places, then that's the kingdom of God. That's the will of God. No, sometimes the kingdom of God, the Bible says, it is not meat or drink. Come on and say amen. So it is not temporary things that we get on the earth. Yeah, God blesses us because he loves us, but that's not the kingdom of God. That is a benefit of being in the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is when you go and you sow a seed in somebody's life and they change, they grow, they learn, and they develop a relationship with God. The kingdom of God is when you go out witnessing to someone and their lives are changed, or somebody is sick and you lay hands on them and they are recovered, or you pray for them and they are delivered. Come on and say amen. That is the kingdom of God, being able to overcome evil with good, being able to love your enemies. Come on and say amen. And love your neighbor as yourself. That is the kingdom of God. And when we're in the kingdom, we become part of the family of God. Amen. And so he says, how else could one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he bind the strong man first? And this text right here, I heard a guy mess that slap up one time. I'm just telling you, and the preacher, a seasoned preacher, he says, now I'm going to tell you what he said. He said that he took this scripture to mean that if you go and you bind the strong man in the, you go and give the strongest man in the city the word, that binds the house, that binds the strong man of the house. I said, I can't tell you everything I said, but that don't sound exegetically right. What it means is what it says. Some things are so plain that people can't see what God is saying. And sometimes we want to dig underneath, get under the straw, and sometimes we get a worm. Don't dig under the straw, you get a worm. So sometimes things are surface stuff. He's telling us that the strong man of the house, basically, that the spirit that is the stronghold in that person's life, that if you can bind that spirit, amen, then you can spoil the goods if you can bind the strong hand. He says, but he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathered not with me scattered abroad. Now, when we look at he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathered not with me scattered abroad, that means if we're not doing our part, we're actually working against him. You ever found out a family member said something or worked against you? Somebody you had a relationship with? You ever found out that, and then how did you feel after that? Did you feel a disconnect? When you seen them, or when the next time you had been in their presence, did you feel like, you know, I just need to get away from them? Why? Why did you do that? Because something happened to that relationship. And so if we're not gathering with him, if we're not doing the work, then we can't have a relationship. All right, okay. We can't have a relationship if we're not gathering with him. If we're scattering, well, how do I scatter, Pastor? Well, sometimes we scatter. Now, let me tell you something. If you tell somebody something that somebody did or said and it affects their love, you scatter. If you keep them from being able to love somebody and from them being able to forgive and live, then you scatter. Ooh, I know you don't like that because we want to tell them what they say. If we do anything contrary to love, you scatter. Contrary to love, anything that is not, that does not bring about love, you scatter. Because God is who? If God is love and we don't spread God, if we don't spread love, we're not bringing people God. Our duty is to bring them. Matthew chapter 28, 20, he tells us that we ought to go therefore throughout all the earth, preaching, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. He says, and causing them making them to look or behold or to adhere or observe the things of God, the will of God. And so what is he saying? We always use that for baptism, but when we start to look, he's talking about teaching them to become believers and disciples of God. And when he tells us to become disciples, he said there's a certain discipline that you have. Or we got people that ain't disciplined at all. We have people that say, I belong to God, ain't got no disciplines. They do whatever they want. God know my heart. Yeah, he knows it. That's why, amen. And that's why he gave us Jesus and washed our sins away, but you still have a part to play here. You still have to discipline yourself as a disciple to have that relationship with him. In Jesus' circle, he had 70 folks that he gave power to over devils. Those 70 all were not close to him, but they followed him. Then he had 12 that were a little closer that ate with him. But then he had 3 that he allowed to pray with him. Where would you be in that number? He had a multitude. He had the first mega church. Now, all they wanted was the food. All they wanted was the buffet. Remember, he took the 2 fish, the 5 barley loaves, and he fed them. And after they were all happy, after their hunger had been satisfied. But then he told them, he said, except you eat my bread, eat my body, and drink my blood, you can't enter. And all of a sudden, they all walked away. He looked at the 12 and said, shall you go? They said, we don't know. Well, where we going to go? You got the word of life. And so where would you be in that number? Are you serving him because he feeds you? Are you serving him because he gave you power? Are you serving him because he let you eat with him? Are you serving because you're in his inner circle? And he let you know secrets and he prayed with you. You pray with him. I wish I had somebody. Where are you? I know y'all wanted me to give another kind of message and make you feel good and jump, but this is what we got today. This is what he gave me. I don't have nothing else. So where would you question yourself? Where would you be? What number would you be in? Would you be a multitude person? Would you be in the 70? I got power. And I rejoice that I got power. I ain't worried about nothing else. Because remember, they came back. They said, ooh, Jesus. They said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus rebuked them and said, don't rejoice about the power that you have over the devil. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. What was he saying? He said, don't rejoice because you got some power and some authority. He said, rejoice that you got a relationship with me, that I wrote your name in the guest book so that you can enter into the party, into the Lamb's book of life, so that you can enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. He goes on here, and I'm trying to get there, y'all. I'm sorry. He says, look at this. He talks about blasphemy. So he starts talking about if you speak a word against, you know, the Son of Man, and, you know, speak a word and say you'll be forgiven. He talks about all of that. But then he goes on to talk about, he said, a good tree bring good fruit. But a corrupt tree bring what? He said, a tree is known by the fruit, right? And so if I have a relationship, you ever hung out with somebody and you start saying what they say? You know, you ever notice the kids, if they have a silly laugh and they laugh's contagious, that their friends laugh like that too? Like, my daughter used to do that with her little friends. They used to get on my nerves. I said, Lord have mercy, would y'all stop with the silly laughs? But that, you know, it's contagious. Things, you know, you hang out with people, you start talking like them, acting like them. You know, folks that go down south, they go down there, you know, they from Niagara, there's no accent, come back talking like they from, you know. You know what I'm saying? We got people that it rub off, you know, because you're around them, right? And so when you the Bible says that evil communication corrupt good manners. And so when our manners are corrupt, or when our fruit is not good, that means that we are not connected to the true vine. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15? He said, I'm the true vine. I'm the genuine vine, the real deal. My Father is the husbandman. He said, and all of you that are in me, if you're connected with me, if you're a branch, you'll bear fruit. And the reason you bear fruit, because I'm the source of what you bear. And if he's not the source, God cannot be the source of evil. He cannot be the source of bad fruit, preaching this place. God cannot be the source of bad fruit. And so we have to understand that if people have bad fruit, that means they don't have a relationship. They're not in the what? Family. You ever pull some people to the side and say, you know, I know we can't help who we can to, right? But you ever pull somebody to the side and say, hey, we're holders, we don't act like that. Or we're Smiths, we don't act like that. You know, you have to correct, you have to tell them, this is the order of the Smith name. You get what I'm saying? And the older people did a good job of that. And you know what else they did? If they had, you know, I always like to use this example. I ain't going to use it. But if you had a family that was, there was a bunch of them that stole stuff in the family, in the neighborhood, your parents said, oh, no, you can't hang with them. Don't bring them back to my house. Huh? So when we let them hang out with this, that makes them begin to act like them and not like us. And so we don't have that same relationship because we can't hang out now, and we're not part of the same family because your actions don't prove that you're part of this family. Amen. All right. Let me go on because you're getting bored now. And so, let's see, he goes on after this. He's trying to prove to them, and he's saying, look, if you can't get this in your mind, he said it's going to be more tolerable for other folks that went on, like the queen of the south, meaning the queen of Sheba, how she's with, you know, she's going to be able to come back and be resurrected, and you're going to have a problem, and she ain't, because she, even though she was somebody that was not a part of this family, she's still going to become part because she was willing to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But here, I'm greater than Solomon, and you ain't willing to listen to me. And so he goes on, he finishes up, and he talks about the unclean spirit. He says, when you clean the place up, he says, it's swept and garnished by the Holy Spirit. He says, but then if you don't replace, if you don't get the word, if you don't get a relationship with me, he said, there's something that's going to happen. That spirit comes back and become an usher or a doorkeeper for other spirits. Sorry. I got to explain this. I got to slow down. So that spirit, he says, come back. If you read verse 45, that spirit comes back and realizes that he got more room in the cluttered house that he left because it's been cleaned up by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has put new furniture in. Can I say it like that? The Holy Spirit has given you new stuff in your life, and then you can't keep on going down the other road. You got a new relationship with God, and you got to keep that. And if you decide that you want to do something different, that spirit somehow come back, look in the house and say, oh, I got room, and opens the door and calls some other spirits and say, hey, I didn't know that I had all this room in the house, but if you come here, you got room enough to stay with me. That's why they say if you lie, you steal your kid. Because once you start doing that, the lying spirit opens the door to stealing. The stealing spirit opened the door to killing. Y'all don't hear me. And so if a person does not keep their relationship with God fresh, guess what happens? Then these spirits come back. They come to see if they can get back in. You know, come back like an ex. Try to see if they can get back in your life. Y'all laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. You see them in the store, then next thing you know, they want to say, hey, you know, how you doing? I'm doing good without you, so don't call, text me, don't mess me. You know, don't let them back in. Tell somebody, don't let them back in. That might have been somebody right there. That's why he says, then even shall also unto this, he says, to this wicked generation, these spirits make that person more wicked at the end than they was before. So you go further away from God than you was when you was trying to get to God when you had the one spirit. That's why it's so hard for people to get back to. That's why it's so hard for them to start getting back in the routine of hearing the word, going to church, praising God, praying every night, reading your Bible, all that stuff. You can't do it. It's hard. And once you let that spirit start to distract you, then it's hard for you to get back to it. Okay, y'all ready? Let's get through with this. All right, let's get through. And so he says in verse 4-6, while he yet talked to the people. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. He's always talking. And somehow, people are saying that they don't hear nothing from God. But yet, he's always talking to the people. There's something wrong when we say we can't hear from God. And we have a relationship with him. Because people you have a relationship with, they always talk to you. Oh, come on and say amen. People you have a relationship with, out of the blue, they'll check on you. How many got children that you ain't checked on in the last week or two? None of us, right? If you got a child, you're going to check on them. You're going to hear from them, right? That's because you have a what? Relationship. If you have a relationship with your brothers or your sisters, you're going to talk to them weekly, right? So he says that while Jesus talked, his mother and his brothers stood without, desiring to speak to him. In other words, they didn't want to come in where he was. They wanted him to stop what he was doing to come out. You see, when people have a good relationship with you, they don't want you to come out of doing the will of God to come mess around with them, but they'll come to church with you. You know, if you got a man that say, well, let's not go to church today. Let's just go ride down, you know, to so-and-so and go do this and get something to eat. And if they, you know, if he said he don't come to church with you and he just want to ride and go, you know, go to, you know, let's go spend the weekend and all this stuff, and he don't want to ever go to church with you, then he's probably not the one you need. If he can't love God, sister, he's not going to love you. He's not going to love you. Now, granted, God can change him, but you can't. Oh, I know. I know. I think I can change him if I cook for him, if I show him what love really is. I know. Only God can change people. Do you know you can't even change yourself? Amen. I tried. I couldn't change myself. It took God to make these changes. So only God can change people. There is no real change. And I say this and I stand on it. There is no real change unless God makes the change. Change is not a 1 week, 3 week, two, you know, because they'll fool you for 2 months. But they can't do it. If it's real change, it'll keep going. Not just a week. I heard somebody say, you know, they'll change for about a week, but then they go right back. That ain't no change. That's a trick. Trick you into staying? Trick you into believing? Oh, okay. Let me get back to, say, everybody say, Pastor, get back to the world. While he was talking, they wanted to speak to him, but they didn't want to come where he was. They asked for him to come out while they stood outside. Now, Then one person came inside and said, your mama and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. While he was talking, while he was doing the will of his Father, because he came to reveal to us everything that God wanted to say. Right? All the will of God. He came to do the will. He came to make sure we understood the mysteries of God. And so while he was doing the work, now all this time they had time to talk to him. But while he's doing the work, they wanted to interrupt. Ain't that like, you know, and you know what the enemy will do? They will use people that are related to you by blood.